Scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 1. But once again, we read from verse 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So far, the reading of God's Word. Well, I want to focus on that first few verses again this morning as we continue with the statement or the call that you and I need to know and celebrate the real Jesus. Or for that matter, to know and to worship the real Jesus. So make this a part two if you want. We live in a time, beloved, in our Lord Jesus, that Christianity is not respected. Christianity is not even cared for. And in places of our country, as surprising as it might sound, the gospel and Christianity is even unknown. It is unreal to speak with someone, even in your own area, and you tell him about the story of the Bible. And he's a 36-year-old man, and he has never heard of Noah, or he has never heard of the name Moses. That is the reality of our time. It is one thing that the world does not know the gospel. We can talk about that a long time. But what is more concerning is that the gospel seems like becomes unknown to the church. And the reason is that the Word of God, as we have it in this book, is not faithfully preached from the pulpits. And thus I said before, the preaching of the truth, the true Word of God, is one of the essential marks of a true church. If you are looking for a church, that is one of the first things you need to look for. Do they preach the Word? Not about the Word, not referring to the Word, but from the Word of God. Because it is only in such a church that you would get to know who God truly is, who He is according to the Bible. It's only in such a church that you would get to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, not according to man's fancies, but according to the Bible. Because it is so important that as Christians, we need to know who the real biblical Jesus is. And we have started last week to see who this Jesus of the Bible is. And today, I want us to continue. One of the things that we heard last week is that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, John said, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes, we've seen in the beginning, He already existed. He was with the Father. He had perfect fellowship and oneness with the Father. And yet, He was distinct from the Father. And above all, He is God and He continues to be God. But why was Jesus called the Word? We touched on that also last week. First of all, we saw it was difficult to call the Son of God by any name. Technically, the Son of God could not be called Jesus before He was given the name after He was born. So John called the second person of the Trinity the Word. Because, and think about it, if God existed but did not reveal Himself to us, if God did exist but He did not tell us who He was, we would not have had any knowledge of God. We would not know Him. We would not even know the way of salvation. But graciously, God revealed Himself to us. How? Through the Word. The Word is the means of communication. The Word is the means of revelation. The Word is the means of creation. The Word is the means of the new creation. And that is what Christ came to do. He came to reveal to us who God is. He came to reveal to us the attributes and the perfections of God. He displayed God's power by what He was and who He was and what He has done. He displayed God's wisdom in the things that He said and the things that He eventually judged. He exhibited God's holiness, the fact that He was without sin, that He was perfect in His existence, even morally. Yes, He made known to us the grace of God. He revealed to us the true identity of God, the unseen God. He came and made known to us. But the Word is not acknowledged today, as I just said. Or it is as at best also seen as insufficient. Even in so many churches, why are people not preaching from the Word? The bottom line must be that they think they can do better. The bottom line is that they might think that the Word is insufficient. Well, that is the true means that the Holy Spirit used to bring God's people not only unto Himself, but to build you and me up to continue to maintain a life that will focus on Christ and Christ alone for our salvation and to serve Him in a way that is pleasing unto God. So just as in the time when Jesus lived and ministered here on earth, He is still attacked today. Jesus is an offense to people. And because people do not always know or like the Jesus of the Bible, what do? They make up their own tales or just tell untruths about Jesus. What I did in the summary that you have in the bulletin is to give you, and that is absolutely just the beginning. There's so much more to say. But just in a few statements, show you the different false teachings about Jesus. As I said, I'm just going to mention it. The first, that Jesus did not even exist. That Jesus was a made-up story. You remember we already addressed that. We saw that it is not true because there is so much that just show the opposite. Not only from the Bible that we see that He is a historical reality, but even from extra-biblical resources. He was written about. He was told about the things that He did. So we do not have to go. You can go and read that in detail. But then there are also those who say Jesus is only spirit, that He is not flesh. So they oppose His humanity because they believe anything that is spirit is good, but that which is matter is bad. So Jesus could not have become man because then it means He's evil. So they throw that part of Jesus away. And surprisingly enough, if you are aware what the progressive movement is in our country, which you find now in the typical evangelical churches, that was evangelical was good, several years ago, today you must frown upon it, you progressive movement, you would find these agnostic teachings even among these teachers. The Bible gives us very clear the truth that it speaks of Jesus' incarnation, that he became a man. It speaks of his resurrection. And it speaks of the fact that he sits at the right hand of God and his highly priesthood as the Son of God. Then there are those who say that Jesus is the first created being. The Witnesses of Jehovah, through the Watchtower that is really their brainwasher, says Jesus is not eternal. He's not God. He's the first of God's creation. But the Word of God in John chapter 1 verse 1 proves otherwise. To accommodate their view, what did they do? They had to change the translation of John chapter 1 verse 1. So they did exactly do that, and actually wrote their own translation, and it became their Bible. They actually changed the Greek and motivated that it was the Coptic Greek text that said that. But they were not even consistent in their efforts, because if they changed chapter 1 verse 1, why have they not changed chapter 1 verse 6 in the same argument? You can read more about that. It's indeed true that the Bible, and that's our defense, that the Bible speaks of Jesus as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. But firstborn has nothing to do with the Savior's origin. John told us he was from eternity. No, it indicates his rank. He's the chief of all creation. And Revelation speaks of Jesus as the beginning of creation. Beginning, not the first of creatures, but the originating source of creation. Everything was created through the Word, through Jesus Christ. Number four, I mentioned there was, Jesus was just an angel, and that is just horrific. The Witnesses of Jehovah on the one hand said Jesus really was the Archangel Michael. But what does the Mormons say? They believe, they actually state in their Institute of Religion that the Scriptures actually affirm that Jesus and Lucifer are indeed the offspring of God the Father, and thus they are spiritual brothers. And that is just blasphemous teaching. In the Bible, we are taught to worship Him. Jesus accepted worship. In the Bible, angels refuse worship. Hebrews chapter 1, 5 states, Jesus is higher than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1, 6 states that the angels must worship Him. You can go and read through all those scriptures that I gave you there. And then there are those like Islam and the Baha'i movement that said Jesus was just one of many prophets. He was just an important prophet. Even there, the Bible teaches us different. He was 100% God and 100% man. And in the progressive movement and the Word of Faith movement that we see these days, the same things happen. Many current teachers in these movements deny the divinity and the sinlessness of Jesus. It's time that you get yourself acquainted to these things and not just listen to it because it's a religious channel that you turn your television on. They also deny that God speaks to us through His Word, and even claim that they, through what they speak, can create a reality through the words they speak. Just go and read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. So you see, it is really important that you and I know the real Jesus of the Bible. The rest of the Bible speaks to this so clearly. Teachings of the New Testament are abundant. What we clearly see from the Word of God is that the Holy Spirit ascribed to Jesus the attributes, the names, the works, and the worship of God. Last week we have seen that in verse 1 and 2, that Jesus is the Word. The Word is eternal. You remember I said the Bible says He was, the Word was, and it means that He continues to be. The Son of God did not have a beginning, did not have a start. In the beginning, the Son of God already was and He continues to be. But then that verse also says, "In the Word was with God." Not in Him, but with. In the presence of God, with perfect fellowship and oneness. And also we saw that the Word was God. The Bible leaves no doubt as to the divinity of the Son of God. He is God Himself. That makes Him one of the persons of the Trinity. Now, there's even attacks on this view of the Bible and this belief that God reveals Himself as a triune God. Many skeptics say the doctrine of the Trinity was developed by the church in the 4th century. But that is just not true. The whole Bible teaches us about this truth regarding God. Let me show you what I mean. At creation, what did God say? He says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Right? What is that? That's the use of the plural. Not for no reason. Because in Genesis 1:2 we read, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." And John, verse 1 and 3, says, "The Word was with, and all things were created through Him," through Jesus, through the Word. But there is more evidence that God revealed Himself to us as one being in three persons. If you just think about what happened at the baptism of Jesus, Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3, what happened there? Jesus was standing to be baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon Him as a dove, and the Father proclaimed from the heavens, "This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased with." When Jesus taught the disciples of His departure before He was crucified in John chapter 15, 26, there we read, "When the Helper," this Jesus' words, "when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is the Spirit of truth, "who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of Me," of Jesus. You see, once again, in one verse, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now back to the divinity of Jesus. In John chapter 3, verse 3, we read, "All things came into being by Him. All things, one by one, without any exception." Jesus is the mediator, if you want, of creation, just as He is also the mediator of His new creation. He's our mediator, the new people of God. And the rest of the New Testament confirms this truth about Jesus and the creation. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, "But in these days, these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son." Not through the prophets anymore, not through dreams and visions and all those things. Now God speaks to us through His Word, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says the same. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then my favorite passage, Colossians chapter 1, 16, 17. "For by Him all things were created, by Christ, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." This is just an astounding verse. It shows once again that Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is before all things. It is emphatic words. He and only He is. It is the "I am" of eternal existence, someone said. All things were created through Him and for Him. He created all things for His praise, for His glory. He is the heir of all things. We are only house guests in this universe. And you and I will be held accountable to Him one day when He returns to judge spiritually and physically. Yes, this passage says He has power over all things. And then He says, in Him, all things hold together. In Jesus Christ, all things hold together. I tell you, this is not only true of the universe, this is true of every setting. If you push Jesus Christ out of the center of a church, or a marriage, or a family, everything collapses. In Him, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. The order, the existence, the arrangement of creation are governed and sustained by the power of Jesus Christ Himself. And if He does not keep everything together, everything in this universe will stop to exist. Only the infinite power and wisdom of Christ holds every solar system, every sun, every moon and star, every planet in its position and on its course. And the Bible says that it is not only true of what we can see, but also of the invisible. The smallest bacteria, the smallest molecule, and the smallest atom. And that's also very significant for us in the times that we are living in, to know that. This is the mighty Jesus that we celebrate and worship. So let me ask you, is this the Jesus you celebrated this year? Is this the Jesus you come to worship every Sunday? Do you realize how powerful and how great, eternal He is? And how small you and I are in His immense creation? And yet we are made in His image. As born again children of God, His powerful hand was at work in us, even to make us a new creation in Him. And we are called to be good stewards of this creation God has placed us in. And that means that you and I may never forget that this creation exists for His glory, for the glory of Christ. That you and I exist as part of that creation for that purpose. And that must show in the way that you and I rule every day on this earth. Remember, He holds everything together. What a comforting word also as we enter the new year, 2022. So let me ask you again this morning. Do you know the true and only God of the Bible? The one God who revealed Himself to us in three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know and worship the true, divine, and powerful Jesus of the Bible? Because there is only one who revealed the true and living God to us, and that is the Jesus I preach to you again today, the one you hear about every Sunday from this pulpit. The one who is the mediator between us and God. The one who is the only way to the Father. Now perhaps you are, even as a believer, truly afraid of the future. You are uncertain because you don't know who to trust or who to rely on. Then I want to encourage you this morning, after all that we have heard this morning, to put your trust once again, anew, in this powerful Jesus of the Bible. Because He holds everything together. Perhaps you celebrated Christmas this year, but you feel empty or used or tired and perhaps overwhelmed. And perhaps you realize that the reason you feel that way is because you do not celebrate the real Jesus of the Bible and you don't know what to do. Perhaps you think, I have too many sins. I'm ashamed of what I've done. There is no hope for me. I'm lost. If you have not received Jesus Christ yet, listen then again as we read verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. To all who received him, who believe in his name, that is what it means to receive him, to believe in his name, to put all your trust in Jesus Christ, to rest in him alone for your salvation, for your future. But you could only do that if you know this Jesus of the Bible. The one who was perfectly human, without sin, and perfectly God. Your salvation depends on it. No man could ever pay for your sins or save us. But as God, Jesus Christ sustained the human nature from sinking under the infinite wrath of God and the power of death, and completely satisfied the judgment of God on your behalf. Do not wait another day. Receive this Jesus. Only he can save and give eternal life. Only he has all the power to keep us. Yes, in him we live and move and have our being. As Paul says, no, Peter, in Acts chapter 17, into eternity. Amen. I would like for the Verdonks to come forward, please. They want to see your faces, not your backs. She wanted to sing so badly at the Christmas program. But not just sing with everyone. She wanted to sing with the microphone. So that created some issue. But eventually she was singing from her heart, right? She has a beautiful voice. It's always good. And that's one of the things that the missions committee has reported to you, that we would like to know more of our missionaries, what they do, and keep us informed about their ministry and their work. And I think one of the examples of a peer that do that well is the Verdonks, and we appreciate that, because eventually it is not just, as I've told you many times and we talked about, it's not just about raising money, it's about building relationships. And we know you have a close contact and connection with this church. Unfortunately, we became a part of that, and it's good, because we love you. We are thankful that the Lord has used you in, what, more than a year now to complete all the requirements with the helicopter training, and that you were safe, and that you were about to go back. And we will continue to pray for you and ask the Lord also to give you safe travelings over there, because as you explained to me, it's a long flight. What did you say, how many hours?
Recently had people do it over, it took them 50 hours from the time they left the States to when they arrived in Papua.
Because they fly over?
Doha and Singapore.
In Singapore. So you can imagine what a long, I mean, they can handle it, but I think about this one. But even when we got them on the airport, after a long day, she was still a bright little star. she did awesome. So let me pray for you all, and just remember we love you, and we'll just continue to pray for you. Father, we bring you praises for this morning and our worship, and first of all, Lord, for your word that came to us, so that Jesus Christ himself was proclaimed to us once again, that we would be able, that we are able, Lord, to know you through him, but that you have also, through your word, revealed your Son to us, that we would worship the real Jesus. And Father, we pray that as a church, we will always bow before this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Father, we thank you that you are a triune God, and that through your Son, you hold everything together, that we are saved in your hands. And Lord, that is also comforting for us if we say goodbye to the Verdonks. We praise you that you have protected and guided them through this year of training. So many things that they were exposed to in their training, had to learn. But Lord, that they have come out of this new people, strengthened, and that they are ready to go back. We also thank you, Lord, that you have provided for them in their financial needs, that they have met the requirements, 97% of it, so that they could go back. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to provide for them in all that they need, physically, materially, spiritually, that they would go and serve you well in Papua New Guinea. Father, we pray for these last weeks of training. We pray for the time of saying goodbye to everyone. We pray for safe travelings, that even a long travel would be, by your grace, be bearable and even pleasant. Father, we also want to thank you that you are providing for us as a church so that we could provide to our missionaries. We thank you that you have provided also for our projects that we are doing here at the church in terms of our maintenance, for donations that came in. Father, we just praise you for that also. Would you continue to bless us through this day? Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.